Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome to Well Well Well. Here we are for another edition. Absolutely looking forward to being here today. It's been a pretty hectic week or two for me, but we've got a very vibrant panel on today. We're sort of part two from Age Concern. So a really warm welcome to Jax, the manager, and Marina, our visiting services coordinator. So thanks for visiting us here and welcome along.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. I have to remember not to nod, to speak.
Indeed, thank you.
101.
Yeah. So anyway, like I said, we've got a vibrant panel here today, and they'll probably be telling more jokes than I am, but that's what it's all about, and I think it probably reflects the wonderful personalities that they do bring to the work they do with our aged community. So just a reminder that Well, Well, Well here is the first well represents how we can look after each other, how we look after ourselves, couple of wells, how we look after each other, and all three wells is kind of what's out there in the community that can help us. And so got a really important agency here who look after a specific demographic of our community who are actually quite vulnerable. And I guess we're either already there, we're aged, we're growing into being aged, or we're going to get there one day anyway, hopefully, or we actually know some people in there. So there's a lot of relevance in what we're going to be talking about today. So, yeah, hold on and let's hear what we can find out more today. So, Jax and Marina, maybe you'd like to tell us a bit more about Age Concern and a bit about the overview of what you guys do.
Yeah, I can do that, I guess, yeah. So we work with what is almost a quarter of the population, just providing social support, particularly around social connection, improving and promoting health, and also, providing support from the elder abuse response service, as you heard last week. So our demographic that we work with is 65 and over, but we do also support families and friends and neighbours of people who are having some challenges or socially isolated, or we can, you know, support, help them navigate, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll certainly look into a bit more of some of the challenges that population face, but maybe both like to introduce yourselves and tell us a bit more about yourselves and how you came into your roles. Marina.
Okay, so I'm the newbie at Age Concern, Wired Upper. I'm not sure how long I can say that for. How long can I say that for, Jax?
You finished that.
Oh, bugger. Oh, anyway, I have just started in the beginning of May, and I'm the Visiting Services Coordinator. So my role is to link isolated, vulnerable older people in the community with lovely visitors who are volunteers who will go along and, form a friendship and hopefully hook them up back into their community and, build their confidence. So really cool service, really happy to be back with Age Concern. I did a bit of a stint way back in the olden days. Cool to be back.
Super. Jax?
So I come to Age Concern. I've got more than a decade of background in managing not-for-profits, and I wanted to come home to the Wairarapa. So I kind of got here by way of doing some work in the refugee space, which I'd been in, but for the DHB, and also doing some part-time work for Age Concern. And then as roles sort of came up, I've moved through and started off with visiting services, then went into elder abuse response. And then when the manager role came up, I applied for that because it sort of slots back into where I came from previously in managing non-profits. And of course I'm home, which is fantastic, back in the Wairarapa. Martinborough girl, so it's good to be home.
And obviously the Wairarapa is blessed for both of you of having your services here, and I'm sure the clients you work with are very appreciative of the energy and expertise that you do bring along. So what do you see as being some of the biggest health and wellbeing challenges which are facing the older people in Wairarapa today and probably nationwide? I imagine population here reflects that of the nation.
Yeah, definitely. So social isolation can be a big problem. So we have a lot of programs to sort of try and help overcome that. Of course, there's the visiting services, which Marina does, but we also have the Buddy Up program, which I'll talk about at some point today, and a lot of our exercise classes, health promotion, also facilitates social connection. And, of course, mobility being another key challenge for people that are ageing. That's where the health promotion activities come into it and support. The cost of living, I think, that's not specific to the elderly though, but they are living on a fixed income in most cases, which is a challenge. And just having to learn new skills around that and try and survive. I think, just general well-being is a challenge at times.
Yeah, because I guess as we age, our health does, our functioning does diminish, and so it's adjusting to that. And as you say, resources in terms of like finances, unless we've saved for it, that can be a bit restrictive. I guess also sometimes the family might look up to their elders in there for a bit of some of that support too if they are struggling.
Yeah, and that's where the fine line is, between what's okay and what's elder abuse, which I think you spoke about last week.
Yes.
And so, you know, we do have a lot of the elder abuse cases that we do work on. It is generally family members, and there is financial abuse going on because people seem to think they have an entitlement to their parents' money. So it's a fine line, you know, and you want to, I know as a parent myself, you want to support your kids. But when they start demanding it and taking it and then getting you into financial difficulty, it becomes a problem. And
absolutely.
It's quite a different thing.
And yeah, so I guess that one of the key parts is really how do we maintain good relationships with all the dynamics of our family members, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think some of the other issues that I've seen just in my short time here is, you know, when I've been out to visit older people, some of the things they struggle with are, you know, getting confused about who's who and who does what, and they've got so many people coming into their homes, and it's like, well, who are you and what do you do? And, you know, you're another voice on the end of a phone saying, well, you know, who are you and what do you want? And yeah, what's your role? And I think that can be quite confusing for a lot of people. And also, I've had people saying to me that, you know, the loneliness and the isolation is that they're losing, you know, their spouses, and they're losing their siblings, and they're losing their friends. And I think that's really, really hard for older people.
Yeah, and, you know, loss, change and loss are huge in our golden years. And we're actually hosting stages for growth, seasons of growth workshop in August, just to help people deal with that change and loss and grief related to it, because there is so much. It's not just, you know, loss, as Marina was saying, of partners and husbands and wives and children and things like that. It is also loss of mobility and senses like sight and things like that. And employment. And
I mean, life, obviously there is that sense of impermanence about it, and as you start to lose others, I guess it's realizing that you are in your twilight. And I think sometimes retirement's painted up as being, you know, this awesome time in your life, but I guess there has to be a lot of bit of thought put into it and how you adjust over those years. And I think that's why your services are going to be are so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's quite interesting though, because people say to us, oh, I don't know how I had time to work, you know. So we've got the people that are that busy in retirement, and they're going to, you know, line dancing in the morning and then aqua aerobics in the afternoon, and then they'll have something on, and they're just, their weeks are so busy. And there's one woman who said to me recently, I can't do anything on a Friday because I have to have a day to go to the hairdresser or whatever it was, you know. So people are busy, but then there are people that aren't. And so I think it's really important to do that planning, as you've said.
Absolutely.
And there's plenty out there. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There's plenty to do and plenty of support. Unless, I think the area, big gaps, mental health support.
Yeah. Well, that'll be things we'll touch on, is what to some of your roles in terms of what you cover. I know there's a huge big list of services and activities that you run, and we'll touch upon. Maybe one of the most important things we touch on first is, how do people engage with your services? Because I think you, before you can do some of your services, they actually need to consent. So it's not just a matter of people say, I'm a bit worried about my next door neighbour, can you pop along and do a bit of a welfare check? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we can't do that. We're not a crisis service. Even in the Elder Abuse Response Service, it's not crisis. Crisis is call 111, you know. And I think that's quite important for people to know. For people to come to us, they can be referred by other people that may have given them consent. We get a lot of referrals from sort of doctors and places like that, particularly for our exercise groups, but also sometimes for visiting services, and these are consented, and we then follow up on that consent. If they're not consented, we will ask them to go back and get that consent, because we are client-centred and it's a huge focus.
Brilliant. So, yeah, I did have the elder abuse team on previous session, and so what we're here going to talk about is your visiting services, which is Marina, you got your buddy up going on, and also health promotion. So a range there, we'll sort of look at each other. Is there much overlap between those services?
I think there's a little bit of overlap, isn't there? Because the idea behind the visiting service is also, is, you know, they have a, and I will talk about more, this more, but one of the ideas is that they, their visitor can help them get along to some of these groups in the initial instance, and then, you know, hopefully they can get their confidence up enough to get there on their own, or make friends with people in the groups who can pick them up if they haven't got their own transport and stuff. So there is a bit of an overlap in that respect.
Yeah, and the Buddy Up and Health Promotion are both funded by the same government contract, so it's very much aligned, and, you know, it's just about different areas and different sort of focuses, but lots of overlap, and referring back to visiting services.
Yeah, because as you mentioned earlier, one of the key things you are facing is the loneliness with the aged community. So having that sort of segue to meet one person's a bit easier than trying to just rock on up to a group, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so how valuable are these services for our aged community? What's the level of reliance on them? Is there a lot of people would benefit from more that possibly aren't aware of it? Or is there some people, once they find out, they go, hey, this is just brilliant, this is a life changer for us, and it's improved the quality of my life?
It's really interesting. So one of the big pieces of feedback we had recently, and it was from the visiting service just before Marina took over, and the children of an elderly lady sent us this beautiful message. It's actually on our website, just saying, you know, we're so relieved. Mum has got her spring back. She's back to the woman we know and that we knew all our lives, and she's just so vibrant again. And that was from having a visitor, something to look forward to each week. It might be 1 hour a week, but it makes a difference, as do all of the services. And, yeah, people just love them.
Yeah.
We get great feedback. And we use a lot of volunteers to run them. So, you know, it's kind of community with community. It's quite a nice vibe.
Yeah, because I hear there's some of the sort of instances with people joining with the line dancing class, which is meant to be pretty high impact and energetic and improving people's health and well-being. Is that just a rumour, or is that truthful?
Well, it's true. It's quite incredible. I know the Martinborough group, we've got over 27 people registered for that group. You know, for a small town, that's quite good. And, you know, to start with, when we got it kicked off again in March, we were sort of having about 10 come. We've now got our 17 regular. And yeah, it is energetic, and we all puff a bit, but we also laugh a lot, you know. So there's not only getting that exercise, and dancing being very good for brain as well as strength and balance, but the laughter and the social connection is priceless.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be an important way we look at some of your activities, that it's not just what we see it for face value. There's under things lying between improved mental health, just that, even that spiritual sense of having that purpose in life, the social connections, the physical activity to help things like balance, etc. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Right. So let's have a look at just a quick overview of what the visiting service is. What does that cover? What does that involve, Marina?
Okay, so the visiting service is based on connections. So we get referrals from all sorts of people. You know, it can be from anybody at all. It can be self-referrals. It can be family referrals. It can be referrals from other professional agencies or health professionals. For an elderly person who's living on their own, quite isolated and lonely. And then the idea is that we buddy them up or connect them with a volunteer. So we have a pool of amazing volunteers who want to volunteer some of their time to go along and spend some time with that elderly person. So the expectation from Age Concern is that they will be able to give an hour a week to spend with that person, and pretty much they can do what they like in that with their time together. So I my job is to be the matchmaker, if you like, and then I just kind of step back and leave them to it, and these relationships can develop into amazing friendships, and that's kind of what it's the basis is a friendship service.
Yeah.
So it's about two people with shared interests getting together, you know, and doing things that they both enjoy together, and it can make a significant difference to both the elderly person and the person doing the visiting.
So. Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. There's benefits both sides of it, isn't there?
And that's the idea. It's supposed to be, you know, a reciprocal relationship, so both parties get good stuff out of it.
Yeah,
and it's fabulous.
Because I guess in terms of volunteers as well, that some people get a great sense for themselves in terms of giving to other people and to build that friendship as well. So it's rather not just a one-off, that's got to be something like lasting time, which is...
And it's, you know, these elderly people, you know, they've often lived through amazing times and have had amazing experiences, and they've got so much to contribute, you know. For younger people going in, I've just organised a visitee match for a 90-year-old lady with a 20-odd-year young person. So it's just awesome. It's just, you know, and it's just, you'd think, oh, wow, what's this all about? But it just works because... You know, they've got things to interest in common, but also learn from each other. So it's brilliant. It's an absolutely fabulous concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And because I imagine sometimes it's be able to start that sentence with, well, back in my day, there's some actual people, hey, yeah, I can remember, and there's going to be some common ground to actually have some really good memories to go through.
And I also think I just love that, the multi-generational work going on. And I think what it also does is it breaks down the idea that older people aren't contributing, don't have anything to give, because they absolutely do. So it sort of changes the narrative a bit. You know, younger people volunteering. We've also got in the line dancing classes in Martinborough. We have people in their 40s and 50s coming along and dancing with people in their late 80s, you know. So there's a lot of respect there. It's really nice.
I can also possibly think in terms of, like, technology. You always used to say, being a problem with technology, ask a 7-year-old type thing. And I imagine for some of the elders, because I think you have a digital seniors group that have someone coming who's a bit younger that might be able to help with that. But also some of these older generations who might then want to say the importance of face-to-face communication. So be interesting conversations, and maybe there's some middle ground.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
Cool. Have you got any particular stories that you could think of that where you've seen something sort of amazingly evolve and terms of that support?
We've got recently we've had an article in the midweek newspaper of a match that was made prior to my time at Age Concern, but it's this elderly person and her visitor have been visiting each other for 11 years. And so, you know, it becomes a family. And the joke is that, you know, the elderly person's always wanting to nick off with her visitor's husband. And, you know, it's a bit of a running joke. And I had a conversation with them a couple of weeks ago and said, well, obviously you're not doing very well because you haven't succeeded yet. But, you know, and there's things like that. And it's things like Jack said about this, you know, the family's being so wrapped that their mum's getting her vigour back again. And, you know, it's just things like... you know, like a bit of a stepping stone to building confidence. And, you know, the visitor can go in and the person might be quite, you know, just wanting to sit at home and have a cup of tea. But after a few weeks, they'll go, oh, yeah, maybe we can, you know, just go for a bit of a walk around the block. Or, okay, yeah, cool, I'll go to that coffee morning, if you come with me and link me in. And, yeah, so it's just those beautiful relationships that form. And, you know, they end up going for Christmas dinner and, you know, doing all these things, you know, with each other. Or, you know, your weekly game of Scrabble becomes quite combative. And, you know, with the elderly person with, you know, dementia setting in, well, it doesn't matter about the dementia because I'm not going to let you win because that word's spelt wrong. So, you know, it's a really good relationship of trust and respect, and brings joy to both people and to families.
Just on that family thing, because I mean, I must imagine sometimes for family to have a bit of a break, or to know that there's other people in terms of that social circle, is really important. Or also for those people who don't have family close by, so therefore there's a huge void to fill. So how might family members recognise that, hey, that maybe their grandmother, grandfather or something might need a bit more additional company or involvement?
I think that can be quite difficult to navigate because, you know, a lot of our elderly people are quite staunch and, you know, like, no, I'm fine. So, yeah, obviously if they're saying, you know, I'm really lonely and, you know, I don't want you to go and I'm finding it really tough, that's great if they are saying that. But sometimes it can be just about noticing, you know, if they haven't been out for a long time or, you know, they're looking a bit disheveled or, you know, they feel like they're, you know, haven't got anything to look forward to, so they're not taking care of themselves so much. So it can just be those little nuances as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess it's both. You know, levels. There's people who are, you know, saying, yep, I'm lonely and I want, you know, something else happening in my life. And then sometimes you just got to pick up on the clues.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think this is one of the important things I'm hoping for today's show is that some of the other family members might be able to pick up on that and realise that everything doesn't need to be dependent on them. There's a way that they can complement their own visits with the services and that you provide.
Just another point there, I think, too, is that, you know, some of the people in the Wairarapa have moved here. So, there's, you know, we've got a large population of newcomers that come here in their retirement years, and so they can be starting from scratch for friendships. So that's where sort of that can come in as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're lonely and isolated. But they may also come here because their kids are here and they all think it's a good idea. But then the reality is that actually the kids are flat out working full time and with their own kids. And there's been quite a few situations where that's happened where we've provided visitors.
And especially, I guess, where the mobility, both in terms of their own physicality and in terms of vehicles and that getting around may be a bit of a challenge. Also, is one of the barriers, you talked about being a bit staunch and things like that, that actually reaching out for help, that can be a bit of a barrier?
I think it can be a barrier because, you know, often elderly people have been, you know, getting on with it their whole lives, and that's a bit of a habit for them, and that they, you know, they think that that's just the way things are done, and so they don't feel like they can reach out, and or they say, oh, there's somebody much worse off than I am, and you know, you should be supporting them, and no, I'm fine. So it's just encouraging them to recognise that they too, you know, deserve everything that's available to them, and yeah, and to reach out, and yeah, we're more than happy to jump in and say, well, tell us what it is that you're wanting and needing, because, you know, it's not about us telling them what they want and need. It's about them telling us what they want and need.
It just reminds me of a story when I was doing the visiting services. I had a 98-year-old woman say to me, oh, dear, no, there's much more needy people than me. And I just thought, oh, dear, yeah, you're 98 and you're still being so independent. Yeah. Good on you. Yeah. But, hey, you know, ask for a little bit.
Yeah.
There's more needy people, far greater need than she was.
Absolutely, because I think it's that thing of independence that as you get through that and then to ask for other people to do things for you is quite a bit of a change.
It's a fine line too, isn't it? We don't want to take their independence away from them. So a big part of my job as the coordinator is to talk to the visitors about, you know, you're not going in there and taking over, and you're not going in there and doing everything for them. The idea is to encourage them to keep doing everything that they can do for as long as they can do it. So, because we want them to be confident and we want them to be able and we want them to keep doing all the things that they can do. We don't want to take away any of that.
Yeah. Because I think we also imagine too, a lot of our older people are in their retirement villages and things like that. As you say, some are feeling a bit isolated. Some of them are difficult to reaching out. Some of them have access mobility issues. How do we ensure that those older people are feeling valued in our communities and included?
I think it's about listening to them, you know, giving them a voice, asking, you know, what is it? You know, it's all for me to go along and say, well, this is what I think you need. But it's about saying, well, you tell me what you want and need. Just giving them that time and space to have a voice.
Yeah, and all of our services do that. We're very, very, being client-centred, we listen. We're good at active listening, you know. People can just come and spill it out to us. We don't actually enforce, or we can make suggestions, but it's got to come from the people we work with. Yeah.
And so for them to have that strength of voice is going to be really important. And I guess a conduit for that is also coming through your volunteers, which is a really important part of your service. So what would make a great volunteer for your buddy team?
Oh, someone who has the time, because I know a lot of people are time poor these days, and a lot of our volunteers are elderly people themselves, actually. So it's obviously someone who's got the time, somebody who's interested in people, likes people, someone who's a good listener, someone who's just a bit, you know, lively and friendly and, you know, is able to connect with people. Yeah.
Because I guess there's also a return for that investment of their time and energy as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. As I say, the visiting service is, you know, a reciprocal relationship. But also, you know, one of the things that I always think about in my life is, you know, one day I'm going to be that, 110-year-old person sitting in an armchair with a visitor. So, you know, you reap what you sow kind of thing. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So if we just sort of evolve into the buddy up sort of scenario, how did that sort of come about?
Well, that came about a couple of years ago with staff talking and manager talking to Health New Zealand about the social isolation that, you know, and the fact that they've moved to Masterton or their friends have all passed on and the people they used to do activities with are no longer about. So they're wanting to form a band or go out dancing or play cribbage, etc., ukulele, there's so many groups. But they've got nobody to do that with, so they can get in touch with us. And once again, Deanne, who runs that group, that program, she would listen to what they're wanting, and then she would support them to set up a group. So we would do the promoting, and it's basically bringing other people together. So one that was recent was an old school rocker decided, you know, it'd be a great idea to have dance social nights like used to happen in the old days, as Marina called it before. So, you know, the dance hall nights where you'd go to the hall and you'd dance and you'd have supper. So, you know, we advertised it, brought people together. We've got a volunteer band, and that happens every couple of months. So it's just, yeah, it's just a fantastic opportunity. And that was because one person thought it would be a great idea to get it happening. The same with cribbage, the men's writing group, the book clubs, all of the groups. Martinborough Line Dancing is one of them. They were, it was when I came back to the Wairarapa, actually, and because I went to school in Martinborough, my dad went to school in Martinborough, everybody thought they could boss me around, and that's how Martinborough Line Dancing happened, because I was being told what to do, and I listened.
Wonderful. So you talked about the old school days. Where are we? We're on camera. So here's a bit of example, social dance for those older people. Just be a wee bit tricky. So yeah, get the dancing shoes on, rock on the old days at the Senior Citizens Hall, which is here on Cole Street, 17th of July, 6 to 8 p.m. So that's exactly what they're talking about. This is what Age Concern put on. So yeah, if you're over 65 and you're interested, touch base with Age Concern, and might be a chance for you to buddy up, because that seems what is the key thing, is matching people with a common interest that Absolutely. May or not have already been established.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've got 11 groups going in Masterton at the moment, so it's pretty cool. And always open to starting more.
Yeah. So you mentioned a number of activities that some of your buddies have done, but that's pretty much an open-ended thing, isn't it? That yes. anyone could come along and say, hey, I'm into rocket science, and some people might be or they might not be.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, build a rocket ship, no problem.
Yeah, we can do anything at Age Concern. We give anything a go. We've got the right attitude anyway. So
what's that sort of impact on some of the participants? Because I imagine you sort of sit there, you're lonely, isolated, then you've actually found someone you can get your rocket boots on with, and it can be a bit of a life changer, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that people look forward to coming along every week to their groups, because most of the groups are weekly. And, you know, it is life-changing. People that have been extremely isolated, you do notice the difference, and they're very shy and standoffish to start with, but they come along, sometimes with our support. But then, you know, then eventually they see the spring in the step. And one chap, he'd been extremely isolated, and he now brings in little acorn men to us that, he's very skilled with woodwork in his hands. And just the appreciation, it's changed his life.
So that, I think you sort of touched on some of those people maybe a bit shy, a bit lonely, isolated, whatever. Is that sort of the people are going to benefit the greatest from the service, and they just may not be aware or realise, or just need to make that first step into connecting?
Yeah, yeah. And just give Deanne a ring, because part of Deanne, in our contract, part of Deanne's role is to actually support people to get to places until they make that connection if you're confident to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously Wairarapa is quite a large region, and so we have many out there in rural. What is there for them?
So for rural, that's something we've just expanded to really in the last sort of 12 months as far as this sort of thing goes. So the line dancing in Martinborough was one of the first ones. We're now looking at a couple of groups we've sort of been asked to do, again, line dancing in either Carterton or Greytown, and there's a book group down in Carterton. So slowly but surely, but also as part of that, we're doing the rural isolate, sort of more remote rural places. So tomorrow we're going out to Riversdale. It'll be the first time we've been out there. And we're just having a coffee morning, essentially, but providing a lot of information. And it's the information that the town coffee mornings provide to people, but the rural people are missing out. And we do that at Piranor as well. And that's how it started. Somebody from Piranor said, why don't we get these? And we thought, well, yeah, why don't you get them? Let's do it. And the beauty of us doing it is that we're organising, we're providing the venue, and so a heap of other organisations come along. You know, we have access doing blood pressure tests, people doing steady-as-you-go classes, digital seniors have been down there who, as you say, they, you know, operate out of our office twice a week. So, yeah, it's just really fantastic.
So for the rural aged demographic there, that distance is also going to be a bit of a barrier. So to know there's a bit of a rural outreach programs is going to be really, really important. So if there are people are out there listening and maybe it's like, hey, come and do something out at, in our sort of area, if there's a bit of a community hall or something, it's all good to go, or even the CAF or something like that. Would that work?
Oh, get in touch. I mean, we've just, I'm putting in funding applications at the moment, you know, around exactly that, because we're wanting to get out to these rural people. A lot of isolation. Some of these rural people don't see people for a long, long time. And, you know, I know in places like Lake Ferry and Tora, there have been a lot of people move into the areas to retire. So, and they might not know the locals that are supposedly retired. I mean, farmers don't retire, I don't think, just from what I've seen. But so they may not overlap. But Tuchumaru Tora, they're pretty good. But I know when we did the first Piranor one, some of them didn't know each other, you know, and they just had that big bad weather event, which was frightening. So that connection just strengthens their resilience as well. And it's just fantastic.
Yeah, because certainly through the adverse weather events, there has been some isolation through the roading, taken out, et cetera. And even I think it's been quite a difficult time for farmers, just the way some of the seasonal weather's been. So you can imagine that there can be restrictions in lifestyles. So, you know, reaching out is going to be even more important, that you can expand this program. And as you say, other agencies can be in amongst it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So let's sort of move into, say, a bit about the health promotion aspect of it. So how you got an aging well sort of concept. What's that actually mean?
Aging well is aging with dignity, respect, equity, and just being able to live well and independently and healthy and happy. The whole idea is that we provide health information, which is done through coffee mornings, through a magazine. The magazine's quarterly, and that's available to our members, so you can be a member of Age Concern for $25 a year. So that's that side of it. The coffee mornings generally have a guest speaker which provides information. And we also have our exercise groups, which are Steady As You Go, which is the seated chair yoga type groups, line dancing, and Keep Fit, which is a faster version of Steady As You Go.
Get off your phone, Mike.
I'm sure I'd turn the sound off, and it's obviously someone not listening to my show, or they're ringing in to put a complaint in, quite possibly.
Yeah, what have I done now?
Hey, but just on that sort of distraction, we'll actually take another distraction here on the Walk of Life with a bit of from the old Dire Straits, which I've just kind of got myself into. So back in about 4 minutes.
Nighttime.
A bit of Dire Straits with the walk of life, and I guess today our walk of life is getting towards the twilight zone in terms of talking with the aged care, and I better not say that, but our wonderful guests from Age Concern are Jackson Marina. So it's awesome having you here, and we just sort of got into the health promotion arm of Age Concern. So my next question to kick off the second half here is obviously people are going to approach retirement age, and you mentioned sort of planning before. What would be some of the key advice you would give around maintaining their well-being and sense of purpose as they transition to retirement?
Yeah, I think it is about planning. It's about being aware of what's available, and being very proactive about getting in touch with, you know, different groups. Have a plan about what you want to do. Try things out. You know, and I think most groups, I know with our groups, they're generally a gold coin donation to attend, you know, our exercise classes, etc. But you can come along and do your first one for free, see if you like it, you know, and if that's not for you, there's other groups around. So it's about being aware of what is out there and giving things a go in preparation for retirement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, think about things like wills and EPOAs. Yeah, EPOAs are also really important.
Maybe EPOA, just in case.
Enduring Power of Attorney. Yes. Also an advanced care plan, which, you know, gives you the opportunity, and you can do that with family. It's quite cool to sit down and just write out how you would like things to be as, you know, life moves on, and, you know, if you go into hospital, what you want to happen then. But these are all things you can start doing as you head towards retirement or an early retirement, just to get your ducks in a row and, yeah be prepared.
Do some people sort of avoid that sort of conversation, that it is a tricky or difficult conversation to have, and maybe it's something they need to embrace a bit more? Is that something you might support them with, or...?
Absolutely. I think people are, you know, don't like to talk about the what ifs or the, you know, the bad or dreary things that could come along in life. But it's really important to have those conversations. And, you know, the more open we are about talking about, you know, especially, I think, you know, that role sits with families, you know, sitting down with your older people and saying, you know, what is it that you want, and how do you want this to work? And then knowing what organisations are out there to support that is really important. But yeah, EPOA is incredibly important to have that in place. And a lot of people don't really understand what that is and what it means. And, you know, a lot of people are fearful that it takes away their rights and their, you know, their voice, and it absolutely doesn't. But yeah, I think it's knowing, it's asking the questions, you know, any questions that you've got. sing out and ask, because, you know, hopefully we can provide some of those
answers. And obviously being specialists and experienced in that area, that's why it's a really good reason to reach out to ask some of those questions that family may not know, or feeling like you need to get in contact with the law or other things that, could cost money. So are there other, you know, obviously it seems like getting involved and having better connections really important, maintaining your well-being. Any other hot tips in that sort of line as well about, because I imagine all of a sudden you've got the spare time, how do you fill it in, that rather than sitting on the couch or something, that it's
and that's maintaining activity. Don't plan to sit on the couch, because actually that's not good for you. And that's when things like depression are likely to kick in. So, you know, plan what activities, make the most of being able to do things. I line dance with a heap of people in Marston on a Wednesday night, and they're all that busy that, you know, they are flat out every day. They're busy. It's incredible when they go out dancing in Carterton on a Friday night, and you know, they're doing all this wonderful stuff in their 70s.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, quite a good mantra is, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So
keep
active, keep your brain going, and, you know, do some exercising on your exercise and do a Sudoku puzzle at the same time, you know.
Just don't fall over.
Yeah, no, don't fall over. so it's about... And it's also about doing things that make you happy and make you feel good.
Don't
do things that, you know, other people think you should be doing. Do things that you want to be doing.
Yeah. And obviously some of the things to consider as you move into that phase of your life. So for those people who are struggling with that loneliness, what's a key step or two for them to go from sitting in that loneliness, feeling isolated, to being like some of these people you're connecting with who are full of life, vibrant, and doing this and that every other day of the week?
Come and see us. Reach out. Come and see us. Give us a call. And, you know, we're happy to listen. That's what we're there for. And we can sit down and show you options, talk to you about options, and get you on your journey to, you know, living quite full lives.
Absolutely. So what we'll get into now is look at some of the awesome activities that you have. But first thing I'll just sort of touch on is what are some other community supports that the aged community might not be aware of? I'm thinking most are probably thinking that the gold card's obviously pretty helpful, get a bit of discount, etc. What might be some other things? Maybe it relates to accessing healthcare supports, or there's interest support groups or anything like that. I'm thinking of mum who had Parkinson's. I know there's a Parkinson's group. Any other things like that you might recommend, or is that a matter of touching base for you to connect them?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of community organisations out there that, you know, are quite specific. So, you know, like you say, there's Parkinson's coordinators, support workers here, Alzheimer's, you know, all of those diseases. They often have people here in the Wairarapa supporting those people.
Hospice is another good one. They have some really great support for people that are experiencing cancer and...
And you've got St. John's Health Shuttle that will help transport to health appointments, driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
We do the total mobility. Well, we're not allowed to say that, are we?
No, we don't do total mobility.
We'll just delete that last part. Really? Right, so we haven't said the total mobility thing, just to clarify that, but if people are mobile, that wasn't an option here, apparently. But reach out, they obviously know something about it that if you do need to know. So if you're life without a car and need some driver support, touch base, they'll have some other options anyway. Yeah. But I think that's the key thing, is you guys know what's going on for that community, and so if people got any doubts or are unsure or wondering what's out there, hey, you're the go-to guys. So let's start off with your comms first. So I think you've got, I'm looking here at the... wrong one again. So you have a calendar event. So this sort of comes out in your quarterly magazine. It's on your website
Page? It gets put on the website. There is a list. It's in a list form. That gets put on our Facebook page as well. And we do send out a monthly e-newsletter for those people who are signed up for that. It's free of charge. So our members with email get it, but also people in any of our groups and just anybody that wants it. And we have a list of what's coming up. So like there's one about to go out and everything we're doing is in it.
Yep. So in terms of signing up, is that just a matter of going to here we go again. Here's July.
Yeah. Having fun.
It does it on purpose, doesn't it? But, you know, so as you see, a lot of things happening. So that's what's worth getting signed up. So is that just a matter of emailing in, connecting, and you'll add them to the list?
For the e-newsletter, yeah, absolutely. To become a member, there is actually a membership form and $25 fee, but they can email us about that or give us a ring or whatever.
Yeah. If they're trying to save money, they can just keep an eye on your Facebook page, yeah, and you've got all your updates through there. I know you've got lots of messages, advertising sort of events coming up. So that's just Facebook page. Just look up Age Concern Wairarapa. The website is ageconcern.org.nz or ageconcernwai.
Yep.
.org.nz. And then another big thing you have coming up in October, I think that's everyone knows all about that, isn't it? That's your Aging with Attitude Expo.
Yeah, yeah. And right, so we're just kicking off now. So I've been doing a little bit of work myself around that, just getting a bit of promo material and, of course, funding set up. And Paige is going to be doing most of the project management on that because it does come under the health promotion realm. So she just has extra hours to be able to do that. So will sort of really kick off the work for that in July, which is pretty exciting.
Because having popped in before to that, that's found it really busy, and basically you have a whole pile of social support agencies type thing. They're setting up their stalls, and so... Yeah, I just saw lots of amazing things besides getting some little lolly treats at the different things. So what are some of the stalls in that you have there, and what are some of the benefits for people to attend that?
So we have, you know, like you say, a lot of the social service providers are there. So including you've got Access and Healthcare New Zealand, sort of those providers. There are also government agencies there such as MSD, which is really helpful.
Are they there?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether Focus were or not last year. I can't remember.
Oh, well, Focus should be able to get along this year.
Yeah, yeah, Focus had, because they're, of course, one of the services that's out there. But we're also going to be doing, and a lot of the community groups, such as, you know, like Rotaries and REAP was there as well. I'm just trying to think. I was sort of looking around the room. And then we have...
Tuora.
Yeah, Tuora were there. And places like the recycling centre. So quite a lot. And, of course, just St John's are there, and Parkinson's were there, Alzheimer's are there.
Yeah.
So a lot of those organisations. And we also have displays of, you know, showcase some Steady As You Go, and there's line dancing, and there's always Kapa Haka.
Yeah.
But this year we're also going to have some interactive stuff and some tasters, so out in the front area. So for those who are keen, they can come along and have a go.
There's also...
You're talking about booze? No.
There's also some things with a lot of different mobility aids and things like that as well, wasn't there, to help people?
Yes, there are. So you can, and, you know, we sometimes have a kneeling bus.
So social service providers, if you do have some of your customer bases with aged people, then, hey, get in contact and set up a stall there. Likewise, if you are looking for some supports and want to know what else is out there in the community, then it's also good to rock up on. When was that? October?
October 14th.
October the 14th, brilliant. Well, yeah, let's look at some of your regular events. Sort of mentioned digital seniors, what goes on there?
Yeah, so they come into the office on a Monday and a Wednesday, and anybody can just, it's a drop-in session, and they can drop in and have their phone or their laptop looked at and get any help really about anything to do with digital devices that they're not sure about.
Cool. So it's twice a week. That's down, you're down there, 14B Queen Street, down there by King Street Artworks near Master Bowl. Beauty. So under your health promotion banner, you have things like Steady As You Go, and that's sort of, you have sort of something in Marston, Cardiston, Featherston, Martinborough.
Yep, and Greytown coming up.
Cool.
Yeah.
And Steady As You Go, it's sort of, is that something to do with help with your balance?
Yeah, so it's a cheer exercise class, cheer yoga style, developed by physiotherapists in Age Concern, and it is an accredited strength and balance class. So it's really interesting because I don't do that, but if I go to a presentation or something and I try to do it, I really struggle. Yep. You know, I think I'm pretty fit and strong, but actually, you know, and I'll go along to a class and I feel like a complete nincompoop because these people in their 80s are far superior.
That's right.
The background of Steady As You Go is to falls prevention, wasn't it? It was funded originally, I think, from ACC to help prevent falls in older people. So
about that. Yeah. Sounds like a great place to cheer up as well, isn't it?
Getting desperate now.
All right. So moving right along. So I guess something a bit more advanced than that would be something like your Keep Fit program.
Yeah, so it's just step up from
Cheers.
Years ago, and it's because people didn't. It still uses Cheers a lot, but it's got a bit more pace, a bit more go to it for those who are slightly more mobile.
Yeah. And so for those who might like to use a cheer in a different way, that could be sitting down for part of your coffee mornings.
Writing, reading club.
So coffee mornings, they're weekly, Marston, Carterton, Featherston, Marston. Again, you're going to do something for Greytown as well?
So they're monthly, so yes. One in each town a month. So there's one, most weeks there is one, but it'll be in the different towns. And, Greytown, that is also kicking off. So we're pretty excited. Greytown, people in Greytown are starting to come and see us and say, hey, sort your life out. We want you here.
Good as gold. And so if there's a place which supplied coffees and thinking, hey, we'd like to get a group along, maybe they could get in contact, offer a bit of a deal. Does that sound like a good plan?
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Free Tim Tams or something would be awesome. So pop along to, I was just about to say where we've just come from, had a coffee, that maybe we get a bit of sponsorship in here. But anyway, so there's also some social connection groups, which is part of your Buddy Up program. And so talked about Books Alive. I think tell us about that.
Yep, so Books Alive is a little bit different. You actually get to read a bit of your story. It's not about all reading the same book. It's about everybody talking about what they're reading, reading an excerpt, reading a poem. And it's held in both Masterton and Carterton.
Yeah. Is that at the libraries, is it?
In Carterton, it's at the library. And it used to be at the library in Masterton, but it's actually now being held in our office because we've got the space and, of course, the library's no longer available.
The library's looking a bit open plan at the moment.
Isn't it? Yeah, but they're really enjoying it. And Alice, who's the peer leader. So all of these groups are led by volunteers.
Yes.
We help set them up, but they're all led by volunteers. And I was talking to the leader of Buddy Up in Masterton yesterday, and she said, thank you so much. It's so nice being in this space with all of you. So that's really nice.
So you just mentioned volunteers again, and I'm thinking that's going to be a really important part of how you operate. There's only so much you can do, but these volunteers, that if people have got skills out there, you want to hear from them. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And especially in the visiting services space, I'm always looking for new volunteers. We've got some elderly people out there waiting for their person to come along and link up with them. So, anyone out there who's wanting to volunteer in whatever capacity, whatever works for them, it could be with the visiting service or it could be with any of the other things that we provide.
Yep. And you've talked about a number of the skills that people have for running some of these groups. So anyone else who's got a bit of a passion in any particular pursuit or would like to run something with the elderly people to get in touch and you can organise something for them, is that correct?
Yeah, if they have an idea that they'd like us to pursue with them, let's
Have you got an idea you'd like them to pursue?
Well, actually, it's really
a gap to fill.
Not yet. We're thinking. We've got lots of ideas, but they're all a bit mad. There's a chap down in Martinborough who's extremely academic, and he would like to have academic conversations.
Yes.
So I've just spoken. He has a visiting services volunteer. So I've spoken to the volunteer and said, see if he's interested in that. Maybe we can look at something for him like that because he's quite isolated, but maybe that would allow him a conversation group.
Okay, so you mentioned a man there. You also have a men's meeting, so there is something based on the genders as well as a women's discussion group?
Yeah, so that's what came about because men tend to not come along to the coffee groups the same. They do in the smaller town, Martinborough. Martinborough they do. It's quite interesting. In Martinborough we seem to have this real mix of gender, like there's a lot more male engagement. So, coffee mornings just don't have the men turn up in the same numbers. And then somebody said, why don't we have a men's group and see what happens? So that's slowly but surely growing. And it's fairly new, but it's growing well.
Yeah. So there are different groups which might suit different people because there's another one. You've got the walk and talk. So for those people who like a bit of physical activity.
Yeah, and that's quite an interesting walk and talk group because it has three different levels. So, there's the short
fast, medium, slow. No.
Yeah. it might be. I think it is that kind of because it's short, medium, longer. So but they've all got to end up back at the starting point at roughly the same time. So that's your shorter one. You can walk a bit slower. Your medium one, medium walk. Your longer one, faster walk. Mm. And then they all, not all of them, but most of them meet up at Dish Cafe for a coffee afterwards.
Yeah, and I imagine you try not to put too many obstacles. I'm sort of saying that the tracks or whatever are reasonably accessible. What about people who sort of got mobility scooters or walking frames or something? Is that something they might still do a wee bit, or?
Yeah, I think that's one of my ideas, is I'd quite like us to have a scooter group, but that's probably me being a rabble rouser, and yeah. I think it'd be quite cool to, you know, let's get this group.
We could take over the skate park.
Yeah, that's what, I reckon that'd be fun.
I'll bring the camera along for that, because I was also thinking of that lawnmower racing competition type thing, that, you know, someone's got a spare paddock out there, we'll put a few hay bales around and
get people on their scooters.
Absolutely.
Great fun.
Well, a lot of them have the roll bars sort of things there as well. I mean, yeah, maybe it sounds like making a bit of fun, but even I wonder whether some people have still got a bit of interest in being competitive or doing something a bit more fun that's not kind of lost, is it? So a couple of other things as we sort of coming up to our final straight here. So you have other things like you mentioned some musical people there. You have a bit of a band, ukulele group, cribbage. Any other sort of things along those lines? Or want to expand a bit more on any of those groups?
Band that's held out at Panama Vision, our village, and all are welcome. I think that's the key thing, is that you are welcome. The ukulele group is a beginner's group, so you learn. You don't have to already play. Mm. And the same with cribbage, you can learn. All the groups are growing, which is fantastic. I'm just trying to think what else we have. A writing group.
Have you mentioned the lion dance?
Mike just likes taking the mickey out of the line dancing, because I got roped into volunteering for the Martinborough one. And so I teach that, which is great fun.
Oh, absolutely. This is what I hear about how well it's attended and what a great space it is. Yeah, so just trying to promote that's here in Martinborough.
Yes, I think the most amount of fun is the fact that, you know, like last week I head off into La La Land because I think I've got the dance memorised, and then all of a sudden I'm going the wrong way. And so, of course, everybody laughs. And then at the end of it, I say, did you catch the wrong way? And they go, yeah. And then we were following you, so we went the wrong way too. And others just laugh, you know, so... Yep. Lots of fun.
And obviously, if people like a bit of dance, let's just put this up once again. There we go, social dance night for those who are a bit older than that, as it does again.
And that's a great fun night.
17th of July, not too far away, 6 till 8, Senior Citizens Hall. So get in contact with the Age Concern team. Give us a camera over here and we'll remind you about popping on to...
Yeah, we've also got the writing group, which is fantastic. Oh, and a cooking class coming up. Starts next week.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Really, really fantastic. 4 ingredients, 1 pot, meal for 1.
That's our Wairarapa Community Centre.
Yep. And so it starts Thursday next week, actually, and there's still spaces available.
There we go. And I guess you get to eat what you cook, so...
You do.
And you'll come away with another recipe in your thing.
Yeah, so you won't be eating eggs on toast every night for the next 6 weeks.
Excellent. Yeah. Right, so let's just final up here with the Age Concern contact details. So if you've got inspired from what you've heard here today, either pop in 14B Queen Street down sort of New World Way there. Otherwise, give them a phone on 06377. Don't do that one?
No.
Okay, what phone number should they contact you?
Good, not the 0800.
Okay, so... Back to resume where I was, 06377 0066 is the number to get in contact. We mentioned the website is ageconcerny.org.nz. Email, if you want to do that, admin@acww.nz. Facebook, check it out. Just put in Age Concern Wairarapa in the search bar and you'll find them there. So that's pretty much for our show today. And I don't know if we've really got much time for your best tips of advice, but maybe you'd like to say, hey, what is your best piece of advice or your best top tip for preparing for retirement? And we'll wrap it up with that. But absolutely fantastic to have you on and sharing your energy, enthusiasm, and all the wonderful work you do with our aged community. And I hope your phone's running red hot for people going, hey, we need to get involved in some of those activities that you supply the community.
Okay, top tip, thanks for having us. Great fun. Top tip is don't think that retirement's 65 or 70. So retirement is now a lot longer. So be prepared, get your activities sorted, and get social.
Beauty.
Thank you very much for having us today. It's been awesome. Oh my God, I don't think I've got any advice or top tips. Just keep doing what you want to do. Don't sit around and feel like you're, you know, retirement means not doing stuff. Get out there and do it.
Yeah. So it sounds like, yeah, certainly worthwhile to think about how you might like to spend your retirement and be aware of some of what's out there available and make the most of that extra time you've got. So if you've got any doubts or want to know any more information, get in contact with the wonderful team from Age Concern. And that's us signing off from here from Well for another week. Take care and look after yourselves, and we'll see you next time. Cheers, bye.